And turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to talk about spiritual conflict or spiritual conflicts. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible says that the whole world lies in wickedness, and therefore the whole world is going to be filled with conflicts. And those conflicts are around you, and they're in your life. And there are conflicts that affect our families, our churches, our communities, because this world is a battlefield. It's not our picnic ground. It is a battlefield where we are at. We are called upon as believers to fight, to wage war. We are called upon to face the enemy and to endure the conflicts that are swirling around us because we live in a world of wickedness. And so we must learn to engage in spiritual warfare and fight the biblical battles. It is a holy crusade for truth and righteousness and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard of the 30 Years' War, the 100 Years' War. You've heard of the world wars. You've heard of the war against terrorism. Well, this is the endless war that's been going on from the beginning of time and will continue to the end of time. It began in the first creation, and it will go on until the new creation or the second creation. It began in paradise lost, and it will end in paradise found. This endless cycle of conflicts that we have to face and we have to experience. If you're looking at me saying, I'm not sure what you're talking about, then I would suggest that you're not in very good shape. I would suggest that you may be defeated if you're not even aware of spiritual conflicts that come into our lives. The conflict is between God and Satan, Jehovah and Lucifer. The conflict is between holy angels and fallen angels, between good versus evil, between sin versus purity, between the old nature and the new nature, between the Holy Spirit and evil spirits, between false religion and true Christianity. It's a conflict between morality and immorality. It's a conflict between all the world's isms and theism. It's a conflict between the unsaved and the saved, the children of the devil and the children of God. It is a conflict with all of the enemies of our soul. And it just keeps going on, doesn't it? Look at the conflicts that are going on in Canada. And they'll die down, and eventually they'll come all back. Look at the conflicts with our neighbors in the South. My wife's American. I'm Canadian. We get along fine when we're apart. But look at the conflict in the U.S. I pastored in Maine for 16 years. I love the U.S. I love Americans. But that conflict is in churches. There's conflict in families. There's conflict in marriages. There's conflict between children and parents. There's conflicts that come up at the workplace. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying that the devil is directly involved in the cause of every conflict, but often he is indirectly involved. And when he did not create the conflict, he certainly would want to move in and take advantage of the conflict. He is not stupid. He is very wise and cunning and intelligent. And whatever it is that's going on in my life, if he's not the one who tempted me or is hindering me or is attacking me, then if it's something else, then he certainly would want to take advantage. So directly or indirectly, we're facing these evil ones, this enemy of our soul. Now, there's four reasons. I want to give them to you right up front. for this conflict. Four reasons why this conflict swirls on and on and on and on until Jesus Christ comes back again. And at the end of the thousand-year kingdom, the battle of Gog and Magog will be the final conflict and the great white throne judgment. And then there will be the new heavens and the new earth and the new paradise, and all conflict will cease. Amen? All conflict will cease in that day. But we're a long piece from that day tonight or this morning. So here's the four reasons. Number one, sovereign rule. Who is going to reign forever and ever? That's the conflict. Will it be Jehovah God or Lucifer, the shining angel? And that is the battle. Who is going to be the sovereign ruler forever and ever? You say, well, doesn't the devil know he's defeated? No, he doesn't. He's a deceiver. And if you're a deceiver, you're deceived. And he is very deceived and still thinks that he has an opportunity to become the sovereign ruler of eternity. Number two, sin's existence. Is sin actually defeated at the cross and at the resurrection? Will it one day be put out of existence, or will it go on forever and ever and ever? That's what the battle's about. Is sin going to continue to reign, or did Jesus Christ completely defeat it and pay for it and conquer it at the cross and at his resurrection? Number three, the souls of men. Will they belong to God, or will they belong to the devil? Will they belong to heaven, or will they belong to hell? And the battle is not only over who rules and not only over sin's existence, but the battle is over your soul and my soul and the souls of those in this world that we live in. And it's a fierce battle. You know that when you're trying to win people to Christ, when you're trying to win and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fourth one is this: spiritual living. Spiritual living. Was Satan actually defeated at the resurrection? And did the resurrection of Jesus Christ give me new life and victorious life? Or must I live a defeated life? And that's what the battle is over. Will I live a spiritual life? Will Christ be ruling and reigning in my heart, my mind, my life, my home, my family, in the church? Will we be able to experience freedom and Christ's victory? Or will we have to live in shame and defeat? Those are the four reasons the conflict swirls and swirls and swirls and swirls. God wants us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, morally, and biblically. God wants us as Christians to march forward across this world under the banner of the cross. God wants us to carry the glorious gospel message. He wants us to wear the powerful armor of God. Good songs that the pastor, good songs your praise team had, all you praise team members. Great songs to begin this conference. Thank you very much for that. God wants us to march forward fighting and battling and warring and resisting and rebuking and overcoming and standing and casting down the enemy and the evil that's promoted by the enemy. At times it's by apologetics, where we stand firm in defense of the faith. At times it's by polemics, where we step forward and take the gospel to those who are lost and to the children of the evil one. Now, I want you to notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. that by them you may wage the good warfare. The Old King James says you may war a good warfare. Good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom is our Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. That we might, verse 18, war or wage the good warfare. So number one this morning, I want to talk about the good warfare. The good war. This is a war that God says is good. It's a war regarding faith and conscience. It's a war regarding the preventing of shipwreck of your faith in your personal life. And it's a war that opposes deliverance to Satan and blasphemy. It opposes being devoured by the enemy and turning from God. The word wage and warfare are basically the same word in the Greek. And it's where we get our word strategy. Strategy. What's the strategy? The word warfare here means the service of war, the function of war, the campaign of war, the strategy used in fighting the war. You got to have a strategy if you're going to fight a war. If you don't understand what God has done, what Christ has accomplished, and you don't know what the armor of God is and how to use it, you're going to be hindered in the war, waging the war. If you don't understand what the devil does and how he operates, if you don't have any understanding of evil spirits or unclean spirits or foul spirits or deaf and dumb spirits or familiar spirits and on you can go. If you don't understand why they have those names, you've got to know your enemy. We're going to talk about that tonight. In order to be able to strategize on how to wage war and how to wage the spiritual war. In other words, we need to have God's plan that's revealed to us in Scripture. The only place you should ever be learning about the evil one is from the Scriptures. You can get all kinds of literature. You can get all kinds of YouTube feeds. You can get all kinds of things about the evil one. The only place you should be getting it is from Scripture, because everything else could be fake news about the enemy. You've got to be careful, very careful, because your spiritual life depends on this. Now, it says in verse 18 that the warfare or the strategy in fighting the evil one and the evil ones is a good warfare. And it means literally an honorable war, a noble war, a valuable war, a healthy war. The war that God has called us to is a just war. It's a righteous war. We often talk about World War II against Germany and Japan and Italy as a just war. We talk sometimes about the Korean War as a just war. In South Korea, at the time of the Korean War, Christianity was 3%. In South Korea today, Christianity is about 40%, evangelical Christianity. There are more missionaries going out from South Korea to the world than any other country except the U.S. That war was a just war in preventing communism, or the whole place would be like North Korea is today. And from outer space, you've seen the pictures. It's just simply what? Black. It's dark. That was a just war. I think terrorism, fighting terrorism, is a just war. Now, quickly turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where this good warfare is mentioned again. And these verses here are very powerful. And we'll get into them a little bit more maybe on Tuesday night. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, we'll get to those Monday night, are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The biggest war is right between your ears. That's the biggest battle I have, is right between these ears. And that'll be our topic on, I think it will be Monday, maybe Tuesday. Maybe it's going to be Tuesday night. I'm not sure. But anyway, we're told here that the weapons of war that God has given us are mighty and powerful, and they'll pull down and demolish strongholds. It literally means pulling down a castle, pulling down a fortress, pulling down any place that the enemy has taken over and has gained control, pulling it down by the weapons that we have in Jesus Christ. Has the enemy gained a place in your life? A stronghold? An area of bondage? A Christian cannot be demon-possessed, I don't think. Satan can't be in my body, but he can be in my life. I'm here for this conference, and I'm not in you, but I'm now in your life. Whether you like it or not, for good or for bad, you can blame the pastor when I'm gone. But I'm in your life. And if you're letting the evil one work in your life and building his castles and strongholds and fortresses, you need to learn to use the weapons of God in pulling that down. Now skip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here we have the good soldier. There's a good war, and now there's a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a good war, and we are good soldiers. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. And we became soldiers of Jesus Christ. We were enlisted in the day of our salvation. 1975, Pastor, I guess you said. For me, it was 1971. Became enlisted in God's army as one of God's soldiers. And you and I have been recruited, and we are now on duty. We're now on duty to wage the good warfare as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The word soldier is really the same word, almost the same word, as warfare. It means a warrior, a man or woman of war, skillful, strong, and stable, and solid, and strategic in battle. It's referring to an honorable soldier. a noble, healthy soldier who strategizes based on truth how to overcome the conflict and to overcome the evil one. Do you know how to use the helmet of salvation? Do you know how to use the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth? Do you know how to use the gospel shoes of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, praying all of the armor together? This is our task as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to be entangled with the affairs of this world, to be tied up. Samson learned that being tied up in the affairs of the Philistines and in the affairs of Delilah, Samson learned as a man of God that to be entangled is to bring your defeat and to grind in the prison house of shame and despair and to be broken by the enemy. Samson learned that sad lesson. And so you and I are to endure hardness. We're to endure hard times. We're to endure hard situations. We're to endure hard attacks. And there will be hard attacks. And if you've been a believer for any length of time, you've faced some things that you'll never want to face again. They've been hard, hard. Whether directly caused by the evil one or indirectly taken advantage of by the evil one, we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Years ago, my wife and I, and we have four sons, I think my youngest son may have preached here one time, Nathan Beebe. He was youth pastor in Argyle Pubnico for about 9 years. And I think when you didn't have a pastor, he was up here and spoke once, or I don't, maybe not. Anyway, we were leaving Prince Edward Island, and we could see this guy coming along the side of the road with a cross over his shoulder. Now, as soon as I saw it, I remembered. It was in the paper. This guy was going to start in Victoria, B.C., and walk all the way across Canada, end up in Newfoundland, carrying a cross as a testimony for Christ. And so, as we were coming along, I can still remember the spot, and we could see this guy coming with this big brown cross over his shoulder. As we got closer, I slowed down. And all of a sudden, I noticed there was a wheel on the end of the cross as he was carrying it along, rolling it along. And then I noticed it was a styrofoam cross. Well, I don't. Isn't that what we want? A styrofoam cross with a wheel at the end. We want it easy, 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 easy. This is a battlefield. Easy is called heaven. We are in a war. And we must not be defeated soldiers. Surrendered soldiers. We should not be captured soldiers or retreating soldiers or traitor soldiers or going absent without leave. What is it? AWOL. Deserted soldiers, wounded soldiers, crippled soldiers, casualties of friendly fire, missing in action. We're to be soldiers that are still marching on. Still marching on for Jesus Christ. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Tonight I want to talk about not the good war, not the good soldier. There's another one. It's called the good commander. And then there's the good fight of faith. Tonight I want to talk about the good for nothing enemy and help you to understand what the Bible's teaching about him. But I want to close this morning by telling you a story. Maybe this will help to help you understand this. My father-in-law and mother-in-law lived in Auburn, Maine, near Lewiston, Auburn.
It was in the wintertime, just like now. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. He was laying on the couch watching the news. What do all men do at 11 o'clock at night, laying on the couch watching the news? And so he was sound asleep. She had gone into the spare bedroom, laid on the bed, and was reading a book. And what do all women do at 11 o'clock at night, reading a book? She fell asleep. So a thief crawled up the lattice on the outside of the apartment building and got on their balcony. And when he tried the door, it was unlocked. So he opened the door and came into their bedroom. He came out into the living room area and went around about picking up some things, looking for jewelry and other items, and he did get some. My father-in-law was there snoring away, never knew this guy was walking around him. Had not a clue what was going on. My mother-in-law was in the spare bedroom snoozing, and the thief went in the bedroom and knelt down beside the bed and was going through the dresser beside her. When she started to wake up, and she thought it was her husband, and half awake, she said, "Lou, what's going on? Are you looking for something?" And the person just got up and walked out of the room. And she went back to sleep. She just thought it was her husband. So he took a number of things, and then he went back to their bedroom and out on the balcony and back down the lattice and was gone. They woke up eventually, as you're wont to do, and they decided they'd better go to bed. When they went in, they could see the snow tracks on the carpet in their bedroom. And then they began to look around. They knew they were robbed. And they were likely fortunate that they weren't severely hurt. But somebody was stealing right under their nose, and they didn't know it, sleeping through it, taking things that belong to them. And the Bible says that the devil is a thief. You say, "Are you one of those guys who sees a demon behind every bush?" No, I'm not. But I'm not one of those guys who never see a bush. The devil has tried to do some awful things in my life. And I know he's trying to do things in your life. But my concern is, you don't know it. And you don't know what to do about it. For a lot of years, I didn't. And I experienced some defeats. And so that's the purpose of this conference. Tonight, the good-for-nothing enemy. Tomorrow night, the good weapons, the armor of God. And then we'll see what Tuesday and Wednesday bring. Let's bow in prayer.